QST, 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 this is Tom Fry. KF6Q acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz offset of a plus 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
G6PL.
86PL, Harold, go ahead.
Not really an announcement. I just wanted to ask you if it's all right with you after you finish roll call. You asked me a question 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't tracking very well, and I gave you a partial answer. But I'm sure that it led to somebody's misunderstanding. And if anybody's interested, this little inverter I bought, I have the manual now. I finally located it. And if they're interested, I'd be glad to give the full specifications on that so that if somebody wants to buy one and get involved in it, well, they'll know what they're getting. 86 PL.
Okay, roger that. Maybe a little bit more. What we're going to do tonight is... Actually, radio duct tape, basically what it's going to take to keep your radio up and running out there in the field, and little tools to have with it. So that we could probably integrate that in, Harold, if that's okay.
It just take me a couple of minutes, because you asked me a question, and I wasn't tracking. I had pneumonia, and I found out later, and I gave you a partial answer that was very misleading for the rest of the, well, should have been the rest of the answer, 86 PL.
Not a problem, Errol. Hope you're feeling better. Hope you're out of the pneumonia stage there. All right. Any other announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, hearing none, we will be testing this Sunday coming up, Big Bear Lake Fire Station, right off of downtown Big Bear Lake at 1 o'clock Sunday, every Sunday, last Sundays of the month, every Sunday, not every Sunday. If anybody wants to upgrade, or if you're out there on a scanner listening and you're ready to take your test, drop on by. Walk-ins are acceptable. If you want to, email me at KF6Q, that's KF6Q at ARRL.net, and I'll give you all the information if you need anything of what you want to bring and what it's going to entail. So, anyway, all right, good deal. One more call, any other announcements? All right, I will proceed and call roster of the group of people that pretty much they're out there, recognition for them being there every night, every Tuesday night, that is. And let's see, we'll start out with WB6CLZ, Mike.
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is WB6CLZ, standing by for the net.
All right, Mike, and hopefully your XYL is right there, WB6CIN.
This is WB6CIN. Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net.
Okay, Cindy, always glad to have you check in there with Mike. Appreciate that. KA6CIA, George. That's 2 days in a row. We're going to have to send out search and rescue him or something. KE6QI and KE6R. RJ early check-in. Got them earlier. Let's give AF6DJ a try out here in Rosemont. Guy, are you out there? Nothing heard. How about KI6SKN? Chris. Nothing heard. How about KJ6HDS? Mike.
Good evening, Tom Nanette. This is KJ6HDS. Looking forward to this one. No traffic. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, Mike. And you know what? Being as the MacGyver-type person that you are, hopefully you'll chime on in here and offer up or either questions or answers, either or, or all or none of the above. Courtesy check-in for your dad, K6EKX. Moving up to KJ6FIL, Mike.
Good evening, Tom and the Net. KJ6FIL.
Thanks, Mike from Redwoods. Hope you enjoyed your weekend up here. I think you were up here last weekend. KJ6KDL, Jim, are you out there?
I'm here. I'll try to stay awake. It's been a long week. And KDK is here as well.
Well, I was climbing up and down a 32-foot ladder today with Harry all day long. I am definitely trying to stay awake. All right. Glad to have you both out there. Appreciate that. Good luck for her getting her scan done. Hopefully they can do it. W6GZI, Frank. And nothing heard. How about KI6IQA, Kelly?
Good evening. KI6IQA.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for being out there. Appreciate a lot of you being out there. It was a lot of dinner time for a lot of people, so appreciate that. How about K6GVL, Ron in Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Ed. This is K6GVL, Ron in Green Valley Lake.
Hey, Ron, and just to let you know, I ended up with those flashcards for the extra by default. So maybe we can send them back your way. I don't know. How about N6BOP? Ann, are you out there in Pomona?
Computer Club.
Oh, don't hear out there. All right, how about 86PL? Harold.
Good evening, 86PL.
All right, Harold. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully you're all over that pneumonia. Wow, that's pretty serious stuff. K6LCS, Clint in Harupa Valley. All right, nothing heard there. And we may miss our ham sat net this night. Who knows? How about KJ6MFO? Jay, are you out there? Nothing heard. See if they're back from vacation. W6JLM, Judah. Nothing heard. How about W6KMM, Ken? All right, nothing heard there. Must be still on the road. How about K6YNW, Chris? Nothing heard there. Well, that's rare. How about KD6LAN, Bill? Nothing heard there. Let's see. On to the other page here. Let's see. How about AE6CK, Victor?
Good evening, Tom and Jeanette. This is Victor Alpha Echo 6 Charlie Kilo.
Victor, you're not still at work, are you?
I am.
Isn't it lovely to own your own business? there's never enough hours in the day. Well, good luck there. Thanks for being out there, Victor. How about KA6ROD, Rod? Nothing heard there. How about KB6LTY, Christy? Nothing heard. AE6 TV, Hans. Alrighty, well, that's the list of people we've had check in pretty regular here in the last few months. Anybody out there who wants to check in as a visitor, please come back. KF6Q.
WA6, Mike Queen Fox.
KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate that. WA6MQF, Bob. Glad to hear you out there. Anybody else? Alrighty, anybody else listening? Of course, you can always ask questions, jump in there, whatever, offer suggestions, information, whatever it may be. Alrighty, well, let's see. Before we get on to our topic, let's see what Mike, what do you got going on out there for DX? Have you had any good stuff, bad stuff, or same old stuff? WB6CLZ.
Well, finally, looks like we got into some good stuff over the weekend. Let's get to conditions right now. Space Weather is reporting sunspot number of 128 at this time, and the solar flux index is running right about 141 solar flux units. So, you know, things are good. 10 meters was okay today, but boy, over the weekend, I like to play QRP on 10 meters. That's one of my things. Sunday started out early in the morning with 5 watts, a W2 in Queens, New York. Then as the day progressed, we worked a KJ4 down south and Guadalupe Island, Palmer, Alaska, and Puerto Rico with 5 watts on 10 meters. That's just occasionally coming over to the rig, turning it on, and kind of tuning the dial around and seeing what's there. So conditions are getting better. Hopefully they'll keep going up towards the peak here on cycle 24, and we can have a lot of fun. And by the way, guys, 10 meters is a band that the technicians can use on sideband from 28.3 to 28.5. So it's a good thing to get into to kind of hone your skills and make you want to get that upgrade on your license. Okay, back to you, Thomas. WB6CLZ.
And Mike, I mean, I'm trying to clear my ears out here. Those contacts you made were on 10 meters with 5 watts? Or no, or did you say 10 watts?
Generally run 5 watts on sideband and about a watt or two on CW. No, that was all with 5 watts.
New York and South America, that's awesome. That's definitely awesome on 10 meters. So, and that's great, too, for the techs out there who don't have a general license and would like to dabble out there. Just got to get that radio, I guess, and get out there and play around. Well, fantastic. Anybody else out there, any good information on the HF bands for DX? Please come back to KF6Q.
WA6, Mike Quink Fox.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? And what's been happening out there on your DX circuit?
Well, like Mike, I discovered 10 meters was open, but KC0 ITA and myself drove up to the top of Onyx Peak, and I've got a mobile radio with a 10-foot antenna on the back of the car, and we worked six countries from Onyx Peak on 10 meters yesterday. Also, about 45 minutes ago, I worked 4W6A at DX Venetian at East Timor on 10 meters. So 10 meters has been open this weekend. WA6M2F.
Oh, fantastic. And just want to interrupt this real quick. There was one announcement I forgot. Sorry about that. Anybody who knows anybody who wants to use 38 going down the hill, best of my knowledge, it will be closed for 2 days. There was a fuel truck spill somewhere between Angeles Oaks and Bark Flats, so you can check with Caltrans when they have that back open, but best of my knowledge, that will be closed for all traffic for the next 2 days. Anyway, I'm sorry, Bob. Well, that's fantastic. And your mobile rig, okay, with the antenna in the back, you're up on Onyx Summit, So just pulled over there to the side at the very peak.
Bud, KC0ITA came over, and he has one of those screwdriver antennas, and so he bolted it to the trailer hitch on my Bronco, and we went and picked up some sandwiches at the... And drove up to the peak and started just listening around. And we worked on five countries. We got Thailand, Chile, Japan, and Ireland, just with 100 watts and a 10-foot, mobile antenna, WA6M2F.
Bob, was that on 10 meters, or was that a few other bands involved?
Mostly on 10. One of the countries was on 17.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's great when it opens up like that. Well, I just wish I had the time. Where is the time? Anyway, anybody else out there? Appreciated that from you, Bob and Mike. Anybody else out there, anything to add? Any DX on the HF band? Please come back to KF6Q. All right, nothing here or there. We'll see if Quint's out there. Don't know if he is. Quint, are you out there? And anything new on HAMSAT and satellite communications with AM radio? All right, nothing here or there, so he may be busy this evening. I know he's got a lot of stuff he does with seminars and things on that. All right, MacGyver, we all know, or some of us may or may not, very improvised is the word on making things work that are broken with almost nothing. We're going to call this duct tape radio, or radio on duct tape. Mike, in the field, I'm just going to throw it over to you just real quick. Anything that you would just say offhand, if you've ever been out mobile or in the past, probably the best would be in the past, what have you ever used, or if you ever have had to do that, makeshift to get something back up and running that just failed and you didn't have everything there to get it done right, but you kind of MacGyvered it together. We'll just use that as a nickname. Anything that strikes your mind. WB6CLZ, KF6Q.
Well, we had a windstorm, gosh, it's probably 1975 or something, and I had a car with a mobile in it, and I had a Hustler that has resonators. Well, I remember when the resonator broke off, and so I would be able to use that. We put it back together as best we could and used a hose clamp, and then just tightened the hose clamp down, wrapped some duct tape on there. The hose clamp kind of gave an electrical connection, wrapped some duct tape, and I was able to, I think it was 40 meters. It was either 75 or 40 meter resonator, and I was able to do my mobile thing every night on the way to work. I talked to one of my high school buddies who was up in Oregon. So that's the basic one.
Well, that's pretty awesome. You know, and I have to say this, relating back to the series of MacGyver, great series, fantastic. Like all Hollywood stuff, they seem to pull just the right stuff out at the right time from almost nowhere. And you know what? That's not always the case. It's not always there. Mike, we're going to probably throw this around a little bit and open out there to the public. First off, if you're going to do something like that, just like Mr. T used to have all the welding equipment, and he could cut half-inch steel. It was all just happened to be over that barn. It just happened to pass two miles down the road. We know that doesn't happen. So if we had to have like a little backup toolkit, something that we could just keep with us, there's a lot of things we're going to have in that toolkit. Off the top of your head, Mike, besides duct tape, duct tape's number one on the list. What else would you recommend?
Boy, besides duct tape, well, I would think wire, lots and lots of wire, different sizes, possibly washers like fender washers, nuts and bolts, for battery clamp-on type things, just so you can kind of clamp onto the battery, you know, the alligator clips, the bigger guys. My golly. And on and on. That's a start. Your turn.
We had to start someplace. You know, and that's probably it. I don't know about all the bolts and washers and things. Duct tape's good. Maybe a roll of electrical tape would even be better for electrical purposes. Duct tape could probably work for that. I'm not sure. And I like that idea with the alligator clips, the kind that will clip over battery terminals, the big ones. A little bit of wire. I'm going to say some number 14 wire is a general size, not too heavy, not too light. You know, how about crimp-ons? Clamp-ons, crimp-ons, stuff like that. I'm going to send over to the other Mike, KJ6ACS. Mike, as a backpacker or a hiker or whatever, if you had to take a radio with you, what do you think would be a good idea if you were in a vehicle or out hiking? KJ6HCS. This is KF6Q.
This is KJ6HCS. Yeah, when I'm out hiking, I try to carry extra by my little backup battery pack with the six AA's. I keep that in a backpack along with a bunch of bottled water and, you know, food. But I just have a rubber duck, and there's a thing that Lookout Larry's been helping me devise where I could throw something into a tree. I could add on, because I got the PMA connector, whatever, the little connector, and then I got the adapter, and he's given me a bunch of stuff, and yeah, I've been practicing soldering all these different ends together, and so I've got like a jumper line of about 20 feet that I could coil up. Actually, you could just stuff in your back pocket if you wanted. And I guess I get quite a ways out there, and it doesn't mess with the radio. It really helps my reception, like being on my roof antenna. We haven't matched it out yet, but you know, I got that as far as an emergency antenna. I could toss over a tree branch. Out having fun when I'm out hiking. I try to keep the radio good and going. And like the other day, my batteries were going down, so I had to back out for a little bit. But you know, that's about it for out hiking around. Back to you, Tom. KJ6HCS.
Okay, Mike. You know, with that little what you're saying there, some spare coax. And here's a good thing here too. Whether you've got a mobile radio in a vehicle or an HT or whatever, good to have a piece of coax, maybe just RG58, probably fine for a few feet. RG8 if you want to really go off the edge. But anyway, putting that out there and some connectors. Here's a good idea. I don't know if this has ever happened to anybody, but it's happened to my wife, KJ6BCLK, and not to her, how, I don't, we don't even know how it happened, but the coax got cut, or pinched, or cramped, and it just is no good. Well, in comes little SMAs, I think that's what you're talking about, Mike, connectors, good to have, if you can. Here's the list, let me reset. Good to have a chunk of coax, maybe 5-6 feet. That's up to the person. Another really cool tool, coax stripper. That is the greatest. They will do RG58, RG59. They will actually do RG8. They're adjustable. I think they maybe do more than that. Comes with a little Allen wrench, and I think they sell them at RS. Pretty cool tool. Once they're set up right, you spin that thing around an end of coax that you've just severed in half. It's already stripped back perfect, ready to go into, well, that's the next thing. Reset here. If you got a piece of coax got cut, good to have the stripper. Saves all the hassle, strips it back exactly. Get comfortable with it. You know, don't just buy it and put it in a bag. Buy it and use it and try it. And you, next thing is a crimper of some sort that'll crimp coax connectors. You can take two SMAs, have them still in the package, maybe a back-to-back coupler. What is that all about? Well, if you cut your coax, and you're really in dire straits there because you can't stick the two ends together. But if you can strip back the coax real clean and neat, your radio won't even know the difference. Second thing would be, of course, having another piece of coax patch. Let me reset. With all that said, that's good for the coax end, and of course, a couple extra connectors that'll work either with your radio or the SMAs are really cool. They're 50 ohms. You can also use BNCs. If you really had to, you could even use some of the F connectors for cable TV stuff. Even though those are like basically designed for 75 ohms, hey, if you had to make it work in a pinch, it would work. And a lot of those are out there available. Real quick there, anybody else out there, Mike, anything else that you could think of besides the battery pack? Good idea. Backup batteries for an HT and coax. And Mike, Mike Seals Ed, you have the crimp-on connectors. What else can you possibly add there? We'll send it back to Seals Ed first.
Okay, Tom. Yeah, I've got taken out with the Mexican repeater, so I missed the tail end of that. But I did come up with a couple of good ones. Wire nuts, different sizes of wire nuts, from the little blue guys to the big red guys. And, you know, in a pinch, that'll put together a lot of things. We use some of those out at Field AD and put together some antenna-type stuff. And a crimper. If you could find a crimper that would crimp both the coax and a power pole connector, that'd be really kind of cool. I know Klein makes a multitude of different crimpers of a multitude of different sizes in the same crimper, so that might be something that's doable. Okay, back to net control, WB6CLZ.
Man. Okay, go ahead.
This is WA6MQF. And I spent 25 years of my life being a field engineer and hauling stuff all over the place. I find it very handy to have an X-Acto knife. That little guy can do lots of things. If you don't have a scripper on your coax, that's the second best thing. And as far as being able to solder away from home, I have one of those little plug in your cigarette lighter inverter and a small pencil type soldering iron, and I can, you know, solder in my car out in the middle of nowhere. It doesn't take a lot of space, and soldering a lot of times is called for if something's broken or come loose. WA6MQF.
Yeah, Bob, you know, and another thing too, and I don't know if this is still made, I'm assuming that it is, and you have to be very careful, of course, if you're outdoors. And hopefully there's not a wind blowing, but they have a little butane, little tiny little solderer with a flame, great for patch and repair. Problem with the wind, of course, it'll tend to blow the flame out. The other problem with little propane or butane tiny little thing, like one of the old CO2 things for BB guns, not much bigger than that. And they'll work great until they're empty, so, you know, you might want to, that's one option. Especially if there's no power where you got to get to, or you can't do that inverter thing. But back to the inverters. Now, of course, if you've got because we've got two different things working here. We've got what to have with you if you're on foot with an HT, and the other thing is what to do if you're in a vehicle. So back to inverters, I know Harold, we were talking about inverters as backup power. Bob, that's a good idea. I'm going to send it over to Harold. Basically, with an inverter, how much power do we really need to do stuff? Maybe, 500 watts, 800 watts? Harold, what would you say? What's your opinion there?
With the inverter that I have, it's 400 watts, and it'll handle 2.5 amp on 120 with no problem at all. That's without the motor running. 150, you get 2.5 borderline with the motor running at a high idle. So you can burn something up there, either your inverter or whatever you're powering on it. to the battery, and you have to have the engine running because it has 750 watts of power up, and then it drops back to your standard 400 watts. You can turn the engine off then. But like I told you, I'm wiring up my car to work it off the inside rather than off of the direct off the, you know, clamp to the battery. I don't like doing that anyway, but it's working really well. And the next step up at Harbor Freight is 750 watts, and that would destroy one of these batteries in a little car now. The new ones, I got a Group 27, so I don't worry about it, but I wouldn't even put that on my Group 27, I don't think. Hey, what do you think, Phil?
Matt? Yeah, go ahead.
VA6MQ up here again. Hey, it's pretty easy to calculate what you're going to do to your battery because there's a power factor of, a voltage factor of 10, 12 volts to 120 volts. You just multiply by 10. So if you've got an AC device that's using 1 amp on at 120 volts, it's going to be close to 10 amps on the battery, WA6FQM.
Yeah, good point there, Mike. Bob. Appreciate that. Mike, ACS, as we kind of, we're going to wrap up the HT thing. Anything else to add? And then we're going to go into stuff into HF antenna deployment. Anything else you can think of there, Mike? KJ6, ACS.
Point
86 mil. Okay, I think we lost Mike there. Go ahead, Harold.
Right, on the soldering in your car, Radio Shack has a 35 watt 12 volt. You plug into your cigarette lighter, you have to have the engine running to get it to function properly, and it has a 12 foot cord on it, and then I have a trailer I pull behind my car occasionally, and I want to go to the back of that. I bought a 10-foot extension, just, you know, plug one into the other and into the cigarette lighter, and it works really great. I've soldered I don't know how much stuff in here with it. And on your emergency kit, a big selection of all kinds of small machine bolts, and each one of them, before you leave, you take the bolt or the screw, put two flat washers on it and run a nut down it. That way you've got the entire unit so that you're not digging around saying, oh, what did I do with that nut? You know, how am I going to do now? And try to wrap wire or tape around it to hold it in place. 86 PL.
Yeah, roger that. And back to the crimper thing here a little bit. Of course, we all know there's like those automotive, we're going to call them automotive type crimpers. Basically with the spades and the quarter-inch spade receptacles and things like that. They're pretty cool to have, you know, a lot of places sell this stuff is a little, like a little go-pack, you know, a little assortment of everything. Probably not a bad thing to have. I mean, I have a couple of them kicking around, used to carry a few in some of the vehicles. Like I say, that, electrical tape, duct tape, maybe, even if you didn't have crimpers, pliers will crimp it. Good stuff like that. If you're looking more into the HF stuff, now we're talking about antennas, and let's say you're out there or even whatever the conditions might be, optional item, a basic adult-style slingshot. That'll get your antenna up in a tree, if it's a wire antenna for HF, far better than anything else. You can definitely shoot that thing better than you can throw it. Mike, have you ever, Mike CLZ, ever worked with any of those?
Tom, I have a wrist rocket in my radio pack all the time, and I generally use the little round sinkers. Oh gosh, I they're way less than an ounce, probably quarter ounce, something like that, and then just use a fishing reel. With some pretty decent monofilament, I think, I think it's 20-pound test, maybe 25. It's for deep-sea fishing. So we use something like that, and, yeah, it gets it up there. Excellent for temporary stuff.
Roger Dodge that, and if you don't have those weights, if you can find a rock, a little pebble or something, and get that duct tape, you know, that's the, that was on the top of the list, wasn't it? And there you go. You know, that's pretty neat. I know with W6BO and one of his buddies there, a couple years back, we were up above here at Sugarloaf. Guy had a little 817, working 40 meters in Montana off of 5 watts. And he jumped it up to 10, so that he just hear a little bit better. But basically, he had a antenna made out of coax, where it was folded back on itself. Really kind of cool trick. Good use from some of that. If you got a, I don't know if you're like me, but for whatever reason, I seem to get a lot of RG59 that I don't want. It doesn't work well, but it will work for stuff like that. So an extra piece of anything out there will work. Anybody else out there, any ideas or thoughts of stuff to fix it, take it with you, what to do out there if you're stranded or whatever? And Mike, didn't you have something like a little J-pole thing?
Well, we have a twin Lee J-pole. That's always in the in a little 2 meter HT kind of a package I carry it in.
So that'd be a good backup antenna if your rubber duck broke. I don't know how they would break, but you know, I guess anything can break. You know, that's pretty cool stuff there. So, well, anyway, there's a lot that can be done like this, and this is a good idea. And you know what? We could probably go on forever, but the list is what you want to do is figure out how big of a little go bag you want. And then just think of everything that can go wrong and how you would fix it. That's a start. Because actually, I don't care, MacGyver was a pretty sharp show and all that, but, you know, if the right stuff ain't there, it's going to be very, very, very tough to do. Anybody else out there who's listening in, any suggestions on this or any comments, please come back. This is Open Night here at KF6Q with Tech Tuesday. Please come back.
Selection of fuses.
Yeah, good idea, fuses. And you know what? I hate to say this. I actually bought one of those little go-pack of the little tab type, and I found out there's two sizes of those tab types, and I had the wrong size. So I went back, bought the bigger ones, or maybe it was the smaller ones, but you know, got to watch out for that. They're actually physically the miniatures and the big ones, and I'd say get both. Good point there. Anybody else?
E6PL again.
Go ahead, Harold.
When you get the fuses, look at the package, make sure it's clickable if you're going to put it in a radio. Otherwise, you're going to blow your radio. E6PL.
Good point there. Good point. Yeah, I think that if we're talking about ham radio here, we've got number one is power. Number two, we've got the antenna. In between that, of course, fuses and whatever else we need. Here would be another thought. A lot of new radios, not all of them, but a lot of them, a lot of the portables use a mic connector. It's not the old Amphenol type anymore. That's another thing there, too. You might think about possibly having a spare connector there. It looks like an RJ, I'm going to say RJ45, like a data connector. Things like that. Of course, that would be getting to the extremes. I mean, hopefully we never have to worry about that. A whole spare mic assembly would be great. That's pretty expensive. Anyway, another call out there. Anybody with any other suggestions, please come back. KF6Q.
Question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tom, this is KJ6HCS. The last gentleman, did he say as far as the fuses go and stuff like that, were those a quick blow fuse? Is that what he said?
Well, I'm not sure. You know what? I think if you're going to get fuses for your radio, what you need to do is make sure you find out what actually comes with that. So you match that up. If the radio needs a quick blow, fine. If it's a slow blow, so be that. So I think that's kind of like an open thing there. It depends on your equipment. Back to you, Mike.
Well, you answered it there. That's good. Yeah, it's just, I guess, refer back on the manufacturer's suggestions. All right, I just thought he put like a little handy tip out there. All right, back to you, Tom, KJ6HCS. Didn't mean to hold you up.
86,
yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, all the radios come with fast blow or quick blow, whatever you want to call it. They pop immediately. They don't, your standard automotive fuses will hold. They're too heavy. And I fried a radio doing that. I didn't realize what I'd done until I had a funny smell in the vehicle. And so that, from then on, I buy a selection of whatever size that the radio uses of fast blow and keep those separate so they don't get mixed up. 86 mil.
Good point there, Harold. You know, and Mike, CLZ, I think this is something I think we just skipped right over. It would be very, very good to get a little pocket repeater directory. Very good reference, depending on where you're at. If you know where you're at, I mean, basically, if you're in Big Bear, you're in Big Bear. But if you're out on the road or out someplace or maybe you're out somewhere in Johnson Valley and you break down, you think like, well, where's the closest thing I can get into? Well, there's repeaters out there by Kelbaker. There's repeaters in Barstow. There's repeaters in Victorville that probably might be, or I'm not going to say Victorville. Actually, yeah, I think they're in Victorville. Anyway, good to have a repeater directory in case you can't get into the one you have. Second thing is, please get familiar with how to set your radio up with any repeater on the VFO mode. Take the time, you know, make time to enter that in. Let me reset. One of the people that's usually on this net had an issue, didn't know how it happened. Somehow his settings for the Big Bear repeater just vanished. And he tried to set that up in the field, and without knowing how, without the manual, or being familiar with that, it was almost impossible. He did do it by himself. He got a very, very good deal there, got home, got the manual out. So besides having that repeater directory, hey, none of us can remember all that doggone stuff in those manuals. Get one of those little speed cards, kind of a little small, we'll call it cheater cards. Basically has the information you need to do your radio right. In pretty much simple terms. So good to have in your wallet or whatever and keep it handy. Anything else there to add with that, Mike, WB6CLZ?
I do like the little cheater cards. They're not totally informative, and as with most of the little Japanese HD, they can be confusing. But, boy, when you need it, there's enough information in it that can get you by with the program. I've used it myself a couple of times.
Yeah, good point. I mean, like, if you don't understand it the first time, read it over until you do. Especially that. It will make sense eventually. And if you're stranded out in the middle of nowhere, it will definitely make sense soon. I guess the other thing would be, see a lot of these around. I got one from Victor, very nice. Little cute little thing there, it holds a battery. It's got this neat little flexible light. Because, if you're breaking down at nighttime and you don't have any light, that's the next thing. Whether it be a little mini mag, flashlight, some sort, the new ones with the LEDs, whatever. Definitely something you need in that go bag. Definitely something. Because you know what? It does get dark once a day.
86 again.
Yeah, go ahead, Harold.
I do all my own work on my car, and down in the engine well, it gets pretty dark even in the daytime in some spots. I went to Sears. They had, they have various brightnesses. I got what's called a headlamp. It has a strap harness that goes over your head. So then the lamp itself mounts right in the middle of your forehead. Uses four AAA batteries. They last forever. It's a little LED job. Lights up wherever you're looking. So you don't have to be trying to pop a flashlight up, and just as you start to do something, it rolls away 86 feet.
And that's what I love about Tech Tuesday. We can get an idea going, and there's always something out there that could add to it, and that's fantastic. Probably even both, one to have in your headlamp and possibly a little mobile one handheld in case one breaks down. But it's always good to have backup stuff like that, so backups on backups. Anyway, good point there, Hill. You know, do they sell those at Harbor Freight, or did you say Sears?
Everybody in town has them. I bought mine at Sears because I wanted something that I knew was going to last. It's Dorothy or something like that. It's a manufacturer. It's a well-known manufacturer. Harbor Freight has them. Now, I know guys that have bought them. They're happy with them, but I decided I'd spend a little more. I didn't really have the money, but I wanted something that was going to last because I use it a lot. And like I said, leave both hands free, and wherever you look, and it's adjustable up and down in three positions. So it's been a lifesaver a couple of times, 80-60.
No, that sounds like the ticket there. Like I said, a go bag, I'm thinking something the size of a little gym bag would probably fit just about all this stuff in it. It'd be good to have with you. And you just never know if you're out there on the road, and we were talking about backup power, backup energy, different things that can happen out there, as we've also carried that on from lightning storms and flash floods and things like that. So you might be not that far away, but in a condition where you're not going to be able to get out for a while. So good point. So that'll do at nighttime there. And check out some of the, with the repeater directories, there's the big handbook and the small one. If you're like me, get the big one, because if my glasses break, I'm not going to be able to read that little one. I'll guarantee you that. So the big one, I think, just whatever your eyesight is good with, don't guarantee yourself that you'll have your glasses. Get something that you can read without. Open for any other thing that's out there. Come back to KF6Q. Hey, Roger. I think we had two people, but I'm not sure who was in first or last. Please come back. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, you just said it. You might want to take a spare set of glasses. Wouldn't be the first time I've broken and I can't see up close at all without them, reading glasses out on a job, and I've learned to carry a second set. And also, if you're going mobiling out to Timbuktu or some other place, I learned from sad experience, I keep the manual for my mobile radio in the car. It does me absolutely no good back in a file cabinet back at my shack. WA6MQF.
Yeah, Roger that, Bob. As a matter of fact, too, I do the same. I have them with my vehicles. That I have found also from sad experience that, yes, the manual's at home, the radio is here. Not good. And like I say, if you have the old cheater cars, that's great. If you have the whole manual, that's even better yet. Here's an idea. When we get these manuals, we read through them, you say, this doesn't make sense. But go through there and take the time and look at different things and maybe earmark those pages. Hey, you know what? It's not a library book. You're not taking it back. Get a highlighter. This says this, number one, number two, number three, but then number four jumps over to a whole different topic, and I really don't need all that. But number seven wraps it up. Highlight those things out so that get familiar with that. And, that's where they get confusing, and if you get the chance to do that, just do it and highlight them. Mark that thing up. Make it readable for yourself. Hey, it's your book, your radio, your choice. Back out there to anybody else. Please come back. KF6Q.
86 PL.
Go ahead, Harold.
Well, the reason I keep jumping in here, my vehicle is a mobile workshop and repair shop. It doesn't look like it, but
I could probably take my engine apart on the side of the highway and put it back together. One thing I've found is indispensable no matter where you go, Rite Aid or any other CVS, any of those, I found a little 2-inch square magnifying glass, flat with a hard case so you don't break it or scratch it. It's plastic so it's hard to break. That comes in handier than anything that I've picked up yet, outside of my MagnaVision that fits on your head and they plop down over your eyes and your glasses with magnifying lenses on those, but they're a little bulky to carry around. But this little jewel works like a charm, and if things get really out of hand and you have the sunlight, you can always start a fire with it. AZ6PL.
Yeah, roger that. You know, I was about to say that a while back, and I thought, you know what, probably nobody's as blind as I am. I can see everything from about 2 feet away, and it could be way out there. I see it fine, but you bring out the stuff close to me, and I got to put my glasses on. And sometimes, and this is really bad with electronic stuff, because we all know that stuff has just gotten smaller. It hasn't gotten bigger. So, yeah, glasses and the magnifying glass, I'm going to say at least a 2-to-1. 10-to-1 is great, but you're probably going to find a 2 or 3-to-1 with a little 10-to-1, maybe a little section in it. So all good stuff. Used to make them with a light included, but yeah, I'm sure they're out there too, and they're probably LEDs now. Who knows? But a lot of good stuff out there, you know, and most of this stuff is not expensive. Some of the crimpers are. Some of the stuff is. So, you know, without crimpers, let me reset. There are connectors for coax that are screw-on. Basically, you strip that coax back, and I know they're with the BMCs. I know they're available, and I think they're even with the F connectors, or probably with just about all of them. And they will literally screw on, you know, to the coax, to the point where you can then have the other piece go on there. So if you didn't have a crimper, that's an option. If you didn't want to spend it, crimpers are not cheap, and that's a fact. So if you simply look for screw-on connectors, coax ends, do a little research, find those. You're going to find that's way cheaper if you just need a backup thing. Crimpers are great. But everybody doesn't have an unlimited pocketbook, so that's just another option. Anybody else out there, please come back to KF6Q. All right, well, I think we've covered a whole lot tonight, and it is getting close to 8 o'clock, and I appreciate that. So in closing, I'm going to send it back to Mike CLZ first. After that, anybody else who has anything to add before we close the net? Mike, back to you first.
Oh, nothing really to add. Great net. A lot of important information put out. And, I've learned a couple of things myself. So, cool net. And we'll be seeing if anybody else has any ideas. WB6CLZ.
Okay, F6Q here. Anybody else with any last-minute things to add in there? I'm sure we missed a lot, but try to always cover as many as we can. Please come back to KF6Q.
One last thing, Tom.
Yeah, go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, if you're having problems working on stuff around your, you know, on the miniature stuff there at your house, go online to Brownell Gunsmithing. It's in Montezuma, Iowa. They're the most honest people on the face of the earth. I've dealt with them for about 40 years now, and they have what's called MagnaVision. It's a hard frame that sits on your head, and it has about probably 3 inches high housing with, you can put different strengths of lenses in, and then you can put, on each corner, you can put a swing down loop of a higher quality so that you add it together, and you magnify just about anything you want. 86 feel.
You know what? I'm going to look into that because that would fit the bill perfect. I think I've even seen that on a couple of movies. You know, and that's you know, of course, in the science-oriented type of thing. But basically, that sounds great. I know exactly what you're saying. I think I've just for whatever reason, I've never even thought about buying one of those. And that would definitely do it. It's basically, I don't know, it's just, you know, like I said, this last few years, well, I got to tell you, just things, small print got blurry, and now it's just unreadable. But still read street signs really far away, fine. So I guess I'm still good for my eye test. I don't know. Thanks, Harold. Appreciate that. Anybody else, any last-minute things to add here? All right. Well, once again, appreciate everybody being out there and participating. And if you're just a listener out there, hope there's something that tonight that helps you out and maybe spark some attention there. If you're out there listening to the DX report, hey, the HF bands are a great place to be. Get your general's license if you don't have it. And if you're listening on a scanner, like I said, one more time, we are testing again this weekend. We do it once a month. We'll be doing that for the rest of the year. So you can always send me an email at kf6q@arrl.net. It'll get to me, and I'll get you all the information on testing. So not a problem. All righty. Well, QST, QST, QST. It's Tom Fry. Acting as net control. Wait a minute, I am net control. There you go. Somebody told me that. And we want to appreciate everybody for participating for Tech Tuesday. Try to do this every Tuesday, weather permitting. We try to keep it open when there are possible emergency traffic situations. And fortunately, this year we've been able to do this pretty regular. So closing the net, returning the repeater back to normal use, whatever that could be. At 7:57, and in the real time, that would be 1,900 hours and 57 minutes. Do appreciate everybody being out there, and I'll be by after that for a little while. This is KF6Q. Return the repeater back to normal use.